John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Giving glory, honor, and praise to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To the ministers and their spouses, our deacons, my wife in her absence, and all of you that make up this assembly, we count it a blessing to again proclaim and teach the word of God. The Gospel of John chapter 15, and I'm reading from the New King James Version as usual. Let us read starting at verse 1 down through verse 6. There is a message from the Lord for us this morning here in these verses from the Gospel of John chapter 15. Starting at verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you. Unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. May God bless the reading of his word. You may be seated in the presence of God. This morning, I want to reflect on this passage with the Holy Spirit as our guide, using the sermon title, Abide in the Vine. Abide in the Vine. You know, some years ago, I was at my Uncle Jasper's house here. I'm sure he might remember this. Maybe he doesn't, but I know I remember it. But if you know anything about where he lives, and you know where Sister Robinson, my mother, lives, their backyards adjoin. Their backyards have a gate, and you can go from one backyard to the other by going through this gate. Both of them have on their back fence, and this fence that they share, it's a common fence, it's a chain link fence, but I don't know if it is now, I haven't paid attention in a while, but there was this grapevine that would go the entire length of the fence, and it was on one side that you could find grapes on the grapevine, and if you were on the other side, you could find grapes on the grapevine, and the neighbor next door had grapevines along her fence. And so people would come and they would somehow want to partake of the grapes that were on the grapevine. Well, one day I wanted to partake of the grapes that were on the grapevine. And I was in my Uncle Jasper's backyard. And I went to the grapevine and looked at it. And I'm like, okay, all right, I see a few grapes there. And as I reached for the grapes, the grapevine was moving. But it wasn't moving because of the wind. It wasn't moving because of whatever. It was moving because there was a large, black, thick snake on the fence. And so I had a desire to get grapes. And that desire to get grapes, I quickly put aside because I said that that snake can abide on the vine. The snake wasn't abiding in the vine. The snake was abiding on the vine. And there are many in this world that seem to think because they are somehow close to the vine that they are abiding in the vine. You can't, in this vine that we're talking about here is Jesus Christ. You cannot abide just close to the vine. You cannot abide just near the vine. You cannot say that I know people that abide in the vine. You've got to abide. Amen. in the vine. In our text this morning, it's important to know that Jesus was coming close to the end of his earthly mission. The time of the cross was quickly approaching him. And Jesus was talking to his disciples about his need to go away. And the power and the fact that they were going to need to make it on their own without him. And that they needed power in order to do that. Because they were going to be going along without him, without him physically being among them. And so Jesus started speaking in chapter 14, the previous chapter, about the need for power, about the Holy Spirit. And he began to speak symbolically at the beginning of chapter 15, as we read here, as though in a parable about vines. And so if you would walk with me here for the next 15 minutes through these three lessons that we can glean from the words of Jesus that we are reading this morning here in John chapter 15. And our first lesson can be found in verses 1 and 2. Let's look at verse 1, which reads as follows. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Now, Jesus, he opened this parable here in John chapter 15 by speaking of his relationship with his Father in heaven. Jesus, he's starting here by saying that he is the grapevine and the Father is the gardener or vine dresser. If you're reading the King James Version, it probably uses the word husbandman, which is the same meaning as gardener or vine dresser. And so Jesus, he continues speaking in verse 2. He says this, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. And lesson one is this. God is determined to get more and more out of you.
Amen.
God is determined to get more and more out of you. Jesus said also that those branches that do not bear fruit, or that do bear fruit, I should say. He said that those branches that bear fruit, he didn't say, I'm going to just leave them alone. He says, I'm not going to leave them alone. Jesus said that even those productive branches will be pruned to increase the amount of fruit that they will produce. And that applies to you, and it applies to me. Say this with me. God is determined.
To get more and more out of me.
Say it one more time.
God is determined.
To get more and more out of me. See, a good gardener knows all about pruning.
Yes.
Pruning a branch involves ripping out any diseased parts of the plant. Pruning involves killing the bugs that seek to destroy the plant. Pruning even means cutting away parts that seem healthy, but only so that the branch grows stronger in the direction that the vine dresser wants it to go. You know, from the branch's perspective, being pruned is uncomfortable. Being pruned is even painful. At times, the pruning also may appear to make no sense, because the plant already seems to be producing fruit. It's the same way from a spiritual standpoint. Every branch, that is everyone in the body of Christ, is being pruned. God is determined to get more and more out of you. But every branch should trust that the vine dresser, God, knows what he is doing. He made you and knows all about you. If you know and believe and think that God is pruning you, then you should be grateful for his care and attention. Be thankful that the abundant harvest will come later. that more fruit will be born later as of the result of the painful pruning that you're going through right now. We serve a God of purpose. And branches on a plant have a purpose. Branches have leaves. Branches support birds' nests. Branches, along with their leaves, they offer shade from the sun for us in the summer. But that's not the purpose of a branch. The purpose of a branch is not just to produce leaves. The purpose of a branch is to produce fruit. The purpose of a branch is not to support a bird's nest, although it may do that. The purpose is to bear and produce fruit. You think the purpose of that branch is to give you shade. The purpose of that branch is to produce fruit. Yes, people can use, in that sense, with a tree, a branch for all of these things, but the ultimate purpose is for a branch to produce fruit. Jesus says here in verse 2 that we are the branches coming off of him, the true vine. And Jesus goes on in verse 2 to explain that if a branch is not attached to the vine, it dies. If a branch is not attached to the vine, it will not grow. If a branch is not attached to the vine, it cannot produce fruit. If a branch is not attached to the vine, it will become brown and no longer green. Amen. The same applies to the Christian, the person in the body of Christ. Pastor Hargrove hit on that earlier when he was talking about Bible study and how we don't want to go on a word diet. We want to be attached to the vine. If a branch is set apart from Jesus, then he or she can do nothing. And those branches that do not bear fruit will be cut off by the Father. Verse 3 reads, "You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you." And this gets us to our second lesson, that the word will clean you up. The word will clean you up. You know, the word of God contains the mind of God, and it contains his will for each one of us and for our lives. And this is why the Bible was given to us. Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's why believers must study the word. There's no other way to grow in the things of God apart from the word of God. You're not going to experience any kind of spiritual growth if you do not apply yourself to the word of God. You can never be prepared for service without studying God's word. And the word of God will clean you up. The word of God is the only source for absolute divine authority. And so get into the word of God and let the word of God get into you. Let's go now to verses 4 and 5. We'll take these two verses together. Verse 4 reads, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." Verse 5 goes on to say, "I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." The question this morning is, do you want to produce? Do you want to produce? Because if the answer is yes, get connected to Jesus. Jesus said in verse 5 that without me, you can do nothing. You know, so many are struggling to fix their own problems themselves without plugging into God's power supply. You know, when the power is out, it's hard to see where you're going. When the power is out, it's like plugging a device into the wall and expecting it to work. It's just not going to work. When the power is out, you're going to quickly find that you cannot accomplish much of what you want to without the power being present. And so it is with our connection to the vine, the true vine, Jesus. When you are not abiding in the vine, you really have no clue where you're going. When you are not abiding in the vine, Jesus, nothing that you set out to do will work as best as it could. God wants us to stay joyful. He wants us to have the victory. He wants us, even in the midst of everyday life, to be able to show this world that we are connected to the vine. But the world needs to see his power working through us as believers. And that can happen if you know how to access the power and stay connected to abide in the vine. Verse 6, our final verse. It says, anyone, if anyone, does not abide in me, he is cast out and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. And this brings us to our third and final lesson, which is that disconnected branches will be thrown into the fire. Disconnected branches will be thrown into the fire. You know, this verse, it simply means that if a person who is not abiding in God, that person is really a withered branch. And they will be gathered and burned because it bears no fruit. Gathered and burned, gathered and burned. You know, people do not like to hear about hell. But our Bibles clearly tell us that if Jesus is not your Lord and Savior and you die, or Jesus comes back first, then you will open your eyes in hell. Hell is the lake of fire in which many will go in and no one will come out. There's no revolving door to hell. Hell is a place which has been made specifically for Satan and his demons, and it does not belong to the people of God or to human beings, but by their decision to reject Jesus, hell has enlarged itself. Hell, a place of outer darkness. Disconnected branches will be thrown into the fire. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. And if you have not repented of your sins and believe in the blood of Jesus that was shed for your sins, then you are in trouble. And if you do not read God's word and obey it, you are in trouble. And if you die in your sins, never repenting, never obeying God's word, then you are in trouble. Disconnected branches will be thrown into the fire. So as I move to my conclusion, there is only one way to be saved from that wrath to come, and that is Jesus Christ. Amen. And he says, abide in me. Everyone will have had to have repented of their sins and have believed in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and have obeyed his word. You know, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The path of Jesus is not a path of self-determination. It's not a path of I'm going to do what I want to do. It's a path of listening and obeying. It's a path of doing what Jesus has given us to do. It's a path of a disciple following a master, a son following a father. And you know, it requires from us humility. It requires from us wanting to do and obey the word of God. It requires us to not be near the vine, not next to the vine, not even know somebody that is abiding in the vine. It requires us to abide in the vine. You know, that snake that day thought it was going to just perhaps get me. But I saw it first. But I saw that it was not a part of the vine. I knew that it was simply there abiding on the vine. But the true fruit was abiding in the vine. And we know from the word of God that you shall know them by their fruit. That snake was not fruit. That snake needed to go somewhere else, and it did go somewhere else. But those that are looking to the vine, look to the fruit. And those of us that are in the body of Christ, we are the fruit, and we bear fruit. Abide in the vine. Not around the vine, not close to the vine, not even on top of the vine, like that dusty black snake was doing. But abide in the vine. Trust in him who will not leave you, whatsoever years may bring. If by earthly friends forsake, still more closely to him cling. Let's leave this morning determined even more to live a life of abiding in the vine. A life of being connected to God and his power. Let us leave having the same heart and soul as Paul. Paul said this, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, that vine, who loved me and gave himself for me. May God bless the preaching and teaching of his word. If you would stand with me, the doors of the church are open. The Bible says that if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. And you will be grafted into the vine. You will be connected to the vine. And you will have life and life eternal. Abide in the vine. The doors of the church are open. Is there one that wants to make that decision this morning?